every time we're in time of trouble or trial or tribulation or a storm is around us, cry to Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
He will fix it.
Thank you, Bob.
Number four, God is in control. Both during the storm and after the calm. God is in control both in the storm and after the calm. God never stops controlling things. The question is, are we willing to recognize the fact He is controlling everything and allow Him to do what He needs to do? There's a reason you're going through that storm. I don't know what it is. There was a reason that the disciples went through that storm. Can I tell you what it was for? This is my opinion. This isn't scripture. This is the opinion of Douglas Marco. My opinion is that the Lord wanted to look at him and say, where was your faith at? He wanted to teach them that they weren't walking enough by faith.
Right.
Oftentimes, I think the storms of life come because we look to our job for our finances.
Right.
And, oh, dear Lord, please don't let that balance really be that -$100 in there. And I got to go work extra time and miss church and not pray and not read my Bible and not hide God's Word in my heart. Oh, Lord, you got to give me a second job so I can miss church on Sunday. Can I be honest with you? The Lord's day is the Lord's day. It doesn't matter what year it is. It doesn't matter what time it is. It's God's day. It's the Lord's day. It belongs to Him. And you and I need to give it to Him and not to the job. Amen? And you say, well, I won't have a job. Oh, yeah. I challenge you. I challenge you first to go to God and say, God, I need this job, but I'm not going to miss church. And then go to your boss and see what changes.
Come on now, right?
But go to God first, because He's in control. Don't take it into your own hands, because it's not your hands, it's His hands. And maybe He put that in you in that position so He could find out where your faith really lies. I can't tell you how many times as a pastor I've begged God and begged God and begged God and prayed and prayed and prayed with people. And God gives them a job, and then the first thing, you know what? They're not in church anymore. What happened? Oh, I got a job. I know you got a job. Good, you can tithe now. But what happened? Well, I got to work someday. No, you don't. No, you don't. Did you know in the United States of America there's still a law that says you cannot make anybody work during the time in which they are supposed to worship their God? Period. We just do it. We surrender our walk with God in order to have that power of money. Listen, I'm not against money. I'm for it. You need it. What you put in your gas tank is money. I know it's gas, but it's money that buys the gas. That's where you get your food. That's where you pay your rent. I know the value and the importance of money, but may I say, ladies and gentlemen, to forsake the things of God in order to make money is wrong, and I'll go this far. Ready? It's a sin. God made it His day. He doesn't ask for much. Oh, I'm going to go to church for 2 hours on Sunday. Well, good. Let's see now. Let's add that up. Let's say that there's 4 weeks in a month and you go to church 2 hours every Sunday. That's 4 times 2. That's 8. 8 hours a month is what you gave to Jesus.
Well, congratulations. That's not even 10%.
Is God not supposed to receive 10% of everything in our life? Is this not our money? It's our time. It's our talent. It's our everything. We're supposed to tithe it all to Him. People write all sorts of nasty things about me because I believe this. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe it because Doug Marco believed it. I believe it because the Bible says so. It's true. And He's the one I need to help me through the storm. Into the Master.
I'm His servant, as I said earlier today. I'm a servant. You're His servant. No, I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. But the devil's a lot happier with those who aren't in church on today because we compromised our belief as Christians. And that's why America's dying. You know, when I was young,
I'm way off the track.
When I was young, when I was a kid, you couldn't buy gasoline on Sunday. If you wanted to go somewhere on Sunday, you had to buy gas on Saturday because there was nothing open. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't buy nothing. It was all closed down. It wasn't no blue laws like they got later on when I got a little older. It was the law that said, listen, it's the Lord's Day. We just did that in America because we respected God.
Amen.
By the way, you serve God at the place in which you work in such a way that it glorifies God. They won't want to lose you. They'll openly, kindly, willingly give you your time where you can serve God. But when you go and you put yourself first, and you put your money first, and you put your pride first, and you put, well, I'm in control of everything first, you forgot about God. You forgot about His power. You forgot about His might. You forgot about His strength. And you forgot that He's the Lord. And that we're His servants. God's in control, both during the storm and in the calm. Number five, without the storm, you never get to see the great power of God. Without the storms, you never get to see the great power of God. Man, take a look back here in Luke chapter 8, verse 24. And they came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. You hear the fear in their voice? The trepidation that they feel? It's not that we might die. We're perished. We're dying. There is no time left. We've got to have You now. Then He arose and rebuked the wind and the rage of the water, and they ceased and were calm. And He said unto them, where is your faith? Verse 25. And they being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? Who? What happened? Look at the power that He has. And they don't just stop there. For He commanded even the winds and the waters, and they obeyed Him. He said, stop! And they did. I command my dogs on a regular basis, sit! They don't listen to me. I can't even get a dog to listen to me. Been married 33 years. I don't give my wife commands. I ask requests with a please and a thank you. But God commanded the wind. He looked at it and said, stop that! It stopped. It wasn't like it even calmed down. It just ended. Boom! It's done. Because the Bible said it was calm.
Yes.
That means there was no wind. He looked at the waters and said, settle down right now. I said that to my kids at least a million times in my lifetime. I'm not sure they're settled down yet. And it settled down immediately. It was calm. It wasn't that it slowly wound down. It was immediate. It's the power of God. Did you ever start to think that maybe the reason you're going through the situation you're going through is so that God can be glorified? Did you ever stop and think that the reason you're going through the issues that you're going through is so God's name can be lifted up? The trials and tribulations that you and I are going through on a regular basis, the storms that constantly surround us, they come and they go, they're there so that God can get the glory, but that so we, as God's people, can see the power of the Almighty God, and not just us, but all. Do you think they're the only ones out there by the water that day? Do you think they're the only ones out on that sea that day? No. That wind and sea came up on everybody out of nowhere. It was calm out there. It came up and boom! Jesus stood up and said, stop wind, stop sea. It stopped. And don't you think everybody out there went, what happened? Power of God. You know you're not the only one watching your life. Your boss is watching your life. Like that young lady testified about earlier. How did I do that? Well, God gave me the power. No, tell me really what happened. There is no what happened. It's God.
Right.
Explain it to me. I'm sorry. I can't explain it. It's just God. But you got to tell me the secret. We'll take Jesus as your Savior. That's the secret. He'll change everything. But the truth is do we know that? Do we believe that? Do we practice that? God's allowing you to go through these things because He wants everybody to see it. He wants your mama to see it who doesn't believe. He wants your daddy to see it who may not believe. He wants your sister who gives you such a hard time every time you turn around, oh, it's trying to run your life. If anybody's got a sister, you got a sister that's trying to run your life. I got two of them. And I got two of them trying to run two different lives. And I only got one. Your sister's watching you. Your brother's watching you. Your neighbor's watching you. Your best friend's watching you. Can I tell you what's wrong with America? Everybody's watching, but they're not seeing nothing. Because we don't want to go through the storms. We don't want to go through the heartaches. We say, "Dear God, please help me not to go through this. No, Lord, don't let it be me." But ladies and gentlemen, you may be the very catalyst that God uses to go through that storm that changes the life of all those around you. Jesus goes across to the other side. We didn't read this, but it goes across the other side and great things are done. Why? Because there are people watching from the shore that saw that happen. Well, they saw the power of God fall from heaven and change the lives of somebody else. Listen, your aunts and your uncles and your cousins and your nieces and your nephews, they're all watching you. And they're saying, "Is it real? Oh, come on. They're just talking." I remember when I got saved, my mama said, "Oh, it'll fade fast." Been 30 years I've been serving Jesus. It ain't faded yet. 35 years, amen. I'm still not tired of it. I'm still not overcoming. It's still not worn off. Why? Because Jesus saved me. I know I was on my way to hell and I would have split it wide open, but He loved me and He gave Himself for me and He saved me, and I'm not going to get over it, amen. I'm not going to get over it. He's my Savior. He's my God. He can do all things, all power and glory and all His. He created it all. And He looked down at me, a miserable sinner. And buddy, I was a sinner. Paul said he is the chief of sinners. I think I took that title away from him. Because I was the chiefest of the chiefest, of the wickedest, of the vilest. And He changed me. And set my feet upon a rock. Someone's looking at your life and they're saying, "Oh, come on, it isn't real." They go to church, they get all excited, they come home and they swear like everybody else does. They lose their temper just like everybody else does. They get mad and throw a fit just like everybody else does. And every time something starts to happen to them, they start blaming everybody else around them just like everybody else does. When we're supposed to run to Jesus. That's why you need to read His Bible every day. That's why you need to put the power of God in your life by memorizing and hiding in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Other folks are watching you and they're not looking for something that's fake or something that's phony or something that we can put on, like I put on this coat this morning or I put on this tie this morning or you put on them shoes this morning. It's something that has to be a part of us. It is us. My little brother was 14 years old maybe when I took Christ as my Savior. No, he was a lot younger than that. He was like 8, maybe 7 years old. And he saw how my parents responded. My parents weren't happy I got saved. But I left the Catholic Church. And for a Catholic family, Catholic Italian family, I'm an Italian Catholic. That's not a good thing. I left everything. I left my heritage. And to them, I was offended. They were offended by me getting saved. Although I was taking drugs. And I was drinking liquor, and I was running around and sinning and using my mouth like a sewer. They'd rather have that than me take Jesus. I don't understand that. But they got mad. They got offended. My mama said, "Nobody can call His name in our house. My name. If He calls, hang up on him. You're not allowed to talk to him on the phone. If He sends something in the mail, return the sender and send it back." That's what happened. My brother said he watched me. Just a little boy. He watched how I come home and love my parents anyway. He watched how I kept trying to do right and 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 do right. I didn't know he was watching. I didn't. I was just trying to watch my own stuff, let alone not watch somebody else's stuff. Came to me one day and said, I want him to Christ one day in the basement of our home. And I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would use him. They came to me one day and said, "God's called me to preach." I said, "What?" He said, "God called me to preach?" I said, "No way." He said, "Yeah, I watched you. It's real. It's down inside of you. It's real. It's what I want in my life. And today he pastors a church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Oshkosh, by gosh, he's there. And this morning he had him a service, amen. And they praised God and sang to his glory, and he got up and he preached the gospel, and he's been there for over 10 years, and he's been in the ministry probably 15 years. I didn't know he was watching. I didn't know. So when storms came to my life, and he saw that we ran to Jesus, he knew that was the answer. When he told me he watched, I said to myself, oh my goodness, what did he see? Because I know me. I know me like a lot of folks don't know me. You say you know somebody, but can I be honest with you? Ain't nobody know you like you know you. Because if anybody could be up here, they would walk out in the first 5 minutes. And I said, oh Lord, what did he see? I couldn't believe he said what he said. Because I know how panicked I became in storms. And I know how nervous I was every time a storm would come. And in these storms over life, there's many storms I never ran to Jesus in. And I never got to see His power. But there were many storms in life that we ran to Jesus. And can I tell you, that's when He gets to see you. He gets to see His power. Not just you, but everybody around you. How are you going to handle that? What are you going to do? Are you going to really run to Jesus? It's funny. People get mad at me, but when catastrophe happens, guess who they call? Hey, Pastor, can you pray for my family? Can you pray for my brother? Can you pray for my son? Can you pray for my husband? Because they see something. I want to give them something to see. So can I be honest with you? Our last point. It's an honor to be in the storm. It's an honor that God could trust me to run to Him during a storm. He trusts us. He trusts you. He trusts me. Said, I'm going to let this come into your life because while this is going on in your life and it seems like it's falling apart to you and you're scared and you run to me, then I get to be glorified and all people get to see me. Can I tell you why America may be going through this? This is just my opinion. Again, this is not scripture. This is just my opinion. Maybe America is going through the turmoil it's going through and the chaos it's going through, so that when it's all done and the storm's over and we as Christians run to Him, and the world gets to see the power of God. Now again, may I say, we don't run to Him, then the glory never comes. And the power never falls. How would you like to have been David facing that big old ugly Goliath? Because I think not only was he big, I figured he'd pretty ugly. And he took that one little stone and that one little... He said, put on my armor, Saul said. He said, I'm sorry, it's too big for me. Put on my mail, I'm sorry. I have a hard time with the post office as it is. Get that mail, post office. And not listening. And, I know, get that big old sword. No, I can't carry that sword. Put that shield out there. No, I don't need a shield. I know my God. And He delivered me from the paw of the bear and from the paw of the lion. And surely He'll deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Yeah. He had seen the power of God because He had been in the storm. Yeah. Everybody was watching. Everybody, both sides. All the big, strong men in the army of Israel, the big and powerful men, were hiding behind trees. Yeah. And all the Philistines lined up on the other side and they stood up there and their giant stepped out. And he defied the gods of Israel. I double dog dare you. David said, oh yeah? Give me. He took a stone. Puts it in that little slingshot, slings it over his head. I can't. He's here. Here he's got this other guy, full grown man, running in front of this big old giant with this big old shield in front of this little bitty boy. Are you tired? Can you help me for a minute? Could I get you to come up here for a second and help me? Could you come? Can I change your name? What's your name? Can I change your name for a moment to David? Okay. I'm Goliath, big and ugly. And this is David. And I take a full-grown man. Brother, can you help me for a minute? He's bigger than I am. And I'm supposed to be a giant. He comes out in front of me, and there's little old David. He's standing in front of me with a big old shield from the top of his head to the tips of my toes. And I'm saying, look at this David, say, yeah, 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 you can get me. That's really what he was doing, wasn't it? There ain't no way you're going to get past my shield bearer. And there's no way to get the shield bearer. Size of a weaver's beam. And he said, yeah, I'm going to put this right through you, buddy. And he takes that stone. Do this right there. You want to do that? And he went, one, two, three, and he let that thing go. It goes flying, and it passed right by the shield bearer, and it goes right past that big old spirit guy, and it, boom, right in the middle of the lion's right. And I believe God took his finger and pushed it in. And then giant drops to his knees. And he's still bigger than David. And he falls on his face. And little David scurries around, picks up that big old sword that was bigger than he was, probably weighed more than he did, takes that big old sword and whack! Cuts off the head of that giant and holds it up there. Woo! Look at that! I got him! And the army of Israel, they jumped out from behind trees and they went, woohoo! Here we go! I knew we'd be able to do it.
Yeah, sure.
And the Philistines went, oh my goodness, he killed the biggest one of us. And they turned and ran like a bunch of chickens. And David said, come on, boys, let's go get him. And they went, okay. If you lead us, David, would you lead us? And David leads him in the battle, and God gives a great
victory. Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because it went through a storm. Thank you, young man. You did a wonderful job. Appreciate that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an honor to go through the storm that God has given to you and I so we can be used of God to make a difference. He's able to bring peace, not only to the sea, but to the hearts of everyone that will trust Him. If it's peace you're seeking, you don't have to wait for it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God through Christ. What a great lesson. The disciples learned that day on the Sea of Galilee. And no matter what they're going through, if they'd run to Jesus, He would care for them. Were they afraid? Yeah. Were they concerned? Yeah. Were they in turmoil? Yeah. Were they in trepidation? Yeah. But they still knew what the answer was. They still ran to Jesus. And in the storm, Jesus says, okay, I'll handle it for you. I got one more story and I'm done. This is story number 642. When I was a little guy, I wasn't much bigger than that little boy there at age 6 or 7. I was always in the front of the line. Because they always went from the smallest to the biggest, you know? And I'd always be the first guy in the line or the second guy in the line because I was always so small. And I had a friend. We got in a grade school and I don't know, I was the smallest, so people thought that they could pick on you all the time, but I learned that I needed to fight some battles. And so I'd fight back. And one day, a big old guy, he'd failed the third grade 3 times. His name was Arden Wise. Arden Wise was a big old guy. Who's the biggest guy in here? Arden Wise is bigger than you. And in third grade. In third grade, the boy was shaving. He comes up to me one day while we're sitting at lunch. And here's what I got. We were poor. We grew up poor. We didn't have a lot of money. My mom and dad weren't rich. And every day I got a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and homemade cookies. That's it. Then you get that milk bottle where they pop the top on that thing, make the hole in it so you can put your straw. You remember that? You take that aluminum off, that foil off, and you make a football so you can play a game. And I'd drink my milk. And one day, my mom had made my favorite cookies, chocolate chip cookies. Oh my goodness, if you took the drop of my mom and the grandmother's chocolate chip cookies and put it on my forehead, my tongue would beat my brains out just to get to it. Oh my goodness, they were good. And Arden came along in the middle of lunchtime in the lunchroom and picked up my cookies. He said, "Them are mine." I reached up and I slapped his hand and knocked the cookies right out of his hand. I said, "No, no, you don't. Those are mine." He looked down there and growled, "Oh, my cookies." I said, "You go find somebody else's cookies, but you leave my cookies alone." I was about up to his kneecap, you know. And I wasn't really that small, but I probably was up to his waist. He said, "Oh, yeah." And he reached down and grabbed him again. And I smacked his hand again. And then the teacher comes over because everybody's going, "Oh! He's going to die. He's going to get killed right here. Just like an ant, he's going to get squished." And the teacher said, stopped it, you know, and I ate my cookies. And he looked at me and he said, "I'll get you out of the recess, buddy." I said, "Go right ahead. Now I'm eating my cookies." Went out at recess time. Time to fight. I'm going to fight hard. Wise. I figured if I rushed him and hit him one time, that'd be the only shot I'd get, but at least I'd get him once. So I rush towards him, and he sticks out his hand like this, boop, and he catches me right in the forehead. And there I am going like this. I can't reach him. I'm swinging like a crazy man trying to reach him. And he's holding me back like this, and he said, "What are you doing, boy?" I said, "You ain't going to touch my cookie. You're not going to get my cookie. All right, I'm going to kill you." He's laughing. He must have let go just for a second because I got in there and got punching. Then I took a trip across the parking lot, picked myself up and went, "How'd I get over here?" And I said, "I'm going back. I'll get another shot in there if I can." I go running back over to Jordan Wise and boom, out comes that hand. Boom, right in the middle of the forehead. I'm swinging like a crazy man saying, "Jordan Wise, I'm going to get you. You're not going to get my cookies." And he must have given in again. Because this time I found myself in a headlock. And he'd give me a Dutch rub. Pop my head on fire. And he goes, "I like you, boy." And I look up. We became friends. We did. We became best friends. With his brawn and my brains, buddy, we got in more trouble than anybody I ever knew. And we did too. But who was going to stop us? I'd created some trouble. This is a few years later. I'm walking home from school. We'd go to a bus stop, take the bus. Then we'd walk from the bus stop, which was about a mile from the house, to the bus stop. And we get off the bus. And halfway, Arden goes to his house. And then I go the rest of the way by myself. Maybe it's 3/4 of the way. Seemed like halfway. And so Arden goes off his way. I start to go my way. Now, I had been creating chaos for about 3 years now. And any time somebody would come to do something about it, I'd go, "Arden!" And here come Arden. Boom, ba-boom, 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 ba-boom. And he'd stand next to me and he'd go,
"Somebody picking on you, Doug?"
"Yeah, that guy over there!" And he always settled my problems for me. Well, on this particular time, the kids knew that. And they decided they're going to wait in the woods between my house in his house. So Arden's going up the hill to his place. I'm passing the woods. And out of the corner of my eye, by God's dear grace, I catch movement. And I see these boys lighting out after me from the woods. And I start running towards home. And I see something. I see my dad's car's home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which never ever happened. So I did what any red-blooded American male would do, running as fast as I could, yelling, "Daddy! Daddy!" I was booking it. Woo!
I was running as fast as I could. I got to the front door just as the boys were reaching to grab me. The door slams. My dad walks over there and says, "Hi, Doug," and sees the boys. And they knock on the door. And they said, "Can Doug come out to play?" There must have been six or seven of them there. And my dad says, "You want to go out and play?" I went. He said, "No, boys, I don't think so." Then my dad looked at him and said, "Boys, I think you all need to go home right now." And you know what they did? They went home right now. I thought, my goodness. Look at the power of my dad. I was so glad my dad was home that afternoon. I was so thrilled and so excited because my mom would have yelled from the other room, "Yeah, go outside and play, Doug." And that's the way it is with our God. When we're being tracked down by the devil and everything around us seems to be hot on our trail and we're about to be consumed and we don't know where to go, we need to yell out, "Daddy! Daddy! Abba! Father! Here I come! Help me!" And he'll dash out from around the corner, open that door, and look at the devil. And the devil will say, "Can Doug come out to play? You want to go out there, Doug?" "I don't think so, devil. Go home." And it's over. That's all God wants to do in your life, in my life. That's all He wants to do. And it's a privilege and an honor to know that my Heavenly Father is waiting there for me to call upon Him. Have you discovered the purpose then of storms in your life? Will you stay faithful during the storm? Have you found peace in your heart that only Jesus Christ can provide? Give your struggles to Him. Trust Him. He'll guide you. He'll refresh you. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. Father, I thank You for what we've learned today. Thank You for Your Word. I thank You for the simple truth.